In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents.
If you feel depressed and if you feel anxious and you feel confused, you know what? Welcome to the club.
Gazpacho, please.
Oh, my God.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Sayonara, sucker.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Good morning, my fellow fallopian tubes with opposable thumbs. How are we feeling today? How was your show last night, Millie?
Oh, it was great.
Tell me. I wanted to go so bad, but I couldn't get myself there. But I felt like it was like exactly where I wanted to be this week. Was there like that vibe to it?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone was just looking for a laugh. So I did the Reductress show last night and I hosted it. I will say that, like, I'm someone that forgets everything if it's not in my GCal. Like, even if a friend's like, hey, you want to grab coffee next week? I'm like, great.
Oh, totally.
Put it in the GCal. That's me. So they asked me to do this show like 2 months ago. And I put it in as June 30th.
Millie.
So I like made plans around it. I like canceled stuff. Everything June 30th. Yesterday morning. And I'm sharing things. I'm in emails. Like,
yeah.
I'm seeing flyers. They're reposting it every week. But I'm not focusing on the date until yesterday.
No, you had it locked in there that it was the 30th.
Yeah, I had it locked in that it was in the 30th. You know my sleep schedule. I wake up at like 6 or 7 in the morning, tweet angrily at Eric Adams, and then go back to sleep until 10.
I get up and then I see Millie's tweets from an hour ago, but yet I know if I text you, you'll be asleep.
I'll be asleep. I wake up at 6 or whatever and I'm like, tonight? I'm like, oh shit. I had to move a lot. So that's level of burnout. Also, I just want to also say, I didn't say this in the last podcast, of like where I'm at with like, you know, how I'm feeling about this country and the state of despair and stuff. My need for dissociation was so bad that I started watching. I've never seen an episode. I started it Downton Abbey.
Wow.
Wow. You need to watch British people like move little items around their fancy house.
The Valet. World War One. Take me out of this.
Titanic.
Put me in there. Miss O'Brien's a cunt. What's going on with her? I'm at in my spirit.
Miss O'Brien really does some stuff. Anyway, I love that. I love to dissociate to Downton.
We were going to close with, I wanted to do like a comfort corner, but let's just do it. Like, what are we getting into that's helping us? Because this has been bad. This has been a bad thing on top of thing, just cascade of terrible things. I mean, we'll probably hopefully talk about the Supreme Court decisions from this morning and yesterday, next week. But like, if you needed any more assurance that this is just a crazy, illegitimate activist court, I mean, many more came after the Roe decision. It sounds like, Millie, you're into Downton Abbey. Millie, or Elise, what has been your comfort? What have you been going to? Just as dissociate?
I mean, to be honest, I've actually had an unbelievably insane amount of work to do this past week. Yeah, just like a bunch of deadlines for other stuff that I'm working on.
She's booked. She's busy.
Kind of a similar thing to you, Millie, where like I had in my mind, I thought that this writing deadline that I had, that it was like for the end of this week and for just a couple of extra things that they needed, like, you know, an hour of my time. I got an email on Tuesday from one of the women I'm working with pinging me being like, hey, remember we agreed to get that stuff at the beginning of the week. So I'm like, oh, right. I need to have this at the end of Tuesday. And then I reread the email and it turned out they needed like way more stuff than I actually thought. So I've been very, and then yesterday I was working on a really cool short film that was really, really fun. So I've just been distracting with work, basically. And I'm going to be able to do that for the next like day and a half. And then we will see what emerges from there. I did book a last minute trip to go to Key Largo, Florida, because my sister is going down there. She's
home,
like,
home of our future leader.
I know. I'm going down. For some reason I booked a trip to Florida.
Whatever. Key Largo's basically Cuba.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we're returning. But actually, in Cuba, you can get an abortion.
Yeah, and for free. Yeah, you don't have it. Ain't $500 like it is.
Yeah, in Cuba, you can actually get an abortion for free and like a lot of different stuff. But yeah, I think that's kind of my main like dissociative crazy act is that I was like, actually, I will be joining you and like joined my sister's trip. And now I'm going to be going down there in the middle of next week. So kind of just like frantic behavior. But I haven't been able to like do any media dissociation because I've been so focused on all the insane work that came up.
You have a garden, too.
I did. If anyone who's reading my new not newsletter at elisemorales.substack.com, where I talk about things that are not news and are specifically not news, I did plant a little garden. But that was before the Roe decision came down that I planted the garden. And she's thriving. Well, I will also say, number one, I haven't grown anything. These are pre-grown plants that I planted into a garden. And I am trying to grow some tomatoes, some cherry tomatoes, famously like one of the easiest things you can grow. But the day that Roe came out, I was Googling like, witch's herbs, like how do I grow abortificants in my garden? I can't even grow basil. I know,
you gotta be careful with that shit.
Honestly, yeah. I think maybe like I think Aaron Ryan said this on Pod Save America earlier this week. I think we should all just like maybe we should create a like Google Chrome add-on where just like three times a day it Googles random shit about abortion. That's like I live in New York, but it Googles like abortion pill Wyoming or abortion pill like Mississippi, and everything's chaotic and they can't find anything.
I think everyone should Google, like, how to perform an abortion every day and, like, just flood Google with fake results. But I did Google how to grow pennyroyal and, like, mugwort or whatever.
Yeah. I set a goal recently to... For my wedding, I'm not like a fitness gal. I do exercise a lot just because it like really helps with my anxiety and mental health and just like sleeping. But I don't like, I've never like really pushed it, but this isn't like that big of a goal, but for my wedding, basically I'm just walking 40 miles a week, which is a lot to walk. Like it's more than I normally walk. And I'll do it like either on the treadmill or just like out and about. And I've been like really loving it, but it's been very hard to get it in. I've definitely like nearly gotten hit by a car 7 times while I'm like on my phone, like angrily replying to a DM about Roe. Like,
yeah,
but that's been helping. It's like nice to have like, it's nice to be able to do that. And it's like, it feels a little bit selfish, but like everybody in the household knows it's like, well, Amanda has to get her steps in. So it's like, we don't plan anything for this evening time because she's out getting her steps. And it's like, I have like a boundary in the morning. Well, it's like, well, I got to hit my steps. I got to do it. So I can't like manically work from 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. Maybe I should do something the fuck else for that time and like regulate my nervous system.
It's a very hot girl walk is what they call it on TikTok.
That's what they call it. 40 miles a week?
It's 6 miles a day. It's a little under 6 miles a day.
That's great. So you're just...
And if I don't do that every day, that piles up and that's like a lot to have to do on a weekend. So I've been like pretty consistent about it. Yeah. Listening to lots of pods. You, man. But now it's hard to find a podcast where they're not talking about abortion because even my comfort podcasts are talking about abortion, which is good, but like it's rough.
I know.
Yeah. That's what like the other day I was like, I want to listen to something, you know, while I'm cooking dinner and everything was about abortion. And I'm like, I can't do that. Maybe I put on Who Weekly or something, but
That's perfect. Yeah, I've just been listening to I only recently started listening to Las Culturistas in like the last 6 months. So I've been listening to episodes from like 3 years ago. They're like reviewing the first, like the premiere of Mayor of Easttown. And I'm like, this is perfect.
Great. I mean, literally.
Oh man. We really live in that world.
I know. You can listen to my episode from like gotta be 6 or 7 years ago where we just talk about how Cursed Child had just come out.
Oh shit.
And
oh,
we you talked have, ooh, all like, only about yes. Harry Potter. And it's all before like J.K. Rowling did anything. It's all just pure chatter.
I will definitely look. And to extend that intersection before we get into our main topics and leave Comfort Corner, Millie, you are doing something really cool with the Lost Culturistas host too, right? Another podcast.
Okay. So yeah, I'm doing a podcast series and they're doing an anthology with 10 different comedians and I'm one of them. And I'm doing up and coming comedians. Yeah, up and fucking coming.
I rejected that. I think you're just coming.
I'm just coming. I'm already up, but I'm, you know, there's more to go, but I'm definitely coming, which is more than a lot of women in this country can say.
But I'm just comedian.
But yeah, I'm doing, mine's is a satirical Wendy Williams character, okay. Satirical so hip hop breakfast club. It's going to be fun there. And yeah, please listen. That means I have to finish doing it. I have to finish editing it.
But that'll be a podcast that doesn't talk about abortion.
Exactly.
That'll be a podcast that you can put on. Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't. I mean, unless it's about the Roe decision. I don't know. I haven't.
No. We recorded it in January.
Chris Burns is making his all about Roe.
Yeah.
No. I was also on Chris's. Chris's is really
and
funny.
I was on Chris's too. So
that's so exciting.
Like, you're a bunch of us gossip. On it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I play the principal in Chris's, and it's very fun.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, good for you guys. Alrighty, I guess we will talk about some politics for today. Yeah. There have been a lot of really shocking headlines lately, but this one from yesterday is not one of those. This is not shocking. Quickly wanted to flag to you all that Joe Rogan says he favors Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, for president, saying on his massive podcast yesterday that DeSantis would work as a good president. He would work as a good president. He went on specifically to praise DeSantis's COVID response, saying that DeSantis was like right about everything. And the quote is crazy. He was like, he was right about all the deaths, tens of thousands, as Millie frequently reiterates, more people than he needs to potentially win Florida again. And I forgot this little tidbit that DeSantis famously told Joe Rogan not to apologize for repeatedly using racial slurs on his podcast. The leading candidate for the Republican nomination for president in 2024. I should clarify it by that. I mean, Ron DeSantis, not Joe Rogan.
Also biggest Spotify, like earner, biggest platform on Spotify, most listeners. Thank you so much, Spotify, for giving this man a platform. That's
our listeners.
Us
I will say, no shade wherever you listen, but just our analytics show us y'all are mostly on this podcast. It's mostly Apple iTunes. Interestingly,
wow. Sorry, interesting.
Millie. Sorry, Millie. I do have Spotify, so I have to chill. But
yeah,
I use it too, and Stitcher.
Yeah, Stitcher is great.
No ethical consumption under capitalism.
Oh, yeah. No ethical. Didn't he make it illegal to talk about slavery in schools? Mm-hmm. Like, and CRT, like, okay, cool, Joe Rogan. Like,
Well, I mean, I just think that this is, like, Joe Rogan doing this is so peak. And I said this in our group chat, but, like, it's peak guy who says that he doesn't agree with either party, but then is just fully a Republican. Like, you can't sit here and tell me Ron DeSantis is your favorite character. I mean, is a character. You know what? You can't tell me that Ron DeSantis is your favorite character in the fall of American democracy and then you're not a Republican.
Right.
No, like, he's definitely a Republican. Because I could give that to like Mitt Romney or Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
Somebody who's secretly evil and whatever likes to posit that they care about tax breaks. But Ron DeSantis is a fucking troll.
Absolute troll. I mean, so is Joe Rogan. So I guess it tracks.
Yeah.
I guess it tracks. But I mean, so Florida, DeSantis, there's like a 15-week ban that could potentially go into effect. And DeSantis is saying, I want to roll that back. I want to either do a complete ban, 6-week ban. How do you think that's going to play in Florida, Millie, like with the electorate? I mean, how does it intersect with like maybe the pro-life Hispanic vote? How do you think that might impact, you know, Val Dennings versus Marco Rubio? What should we be watching there from our Floridian in residence, former Floridian in residence?
You know, again, it's all about messaging. Who's the loudest? Who's the thing? Because, you know, just in my, like, from my experience of Florida, like, I'm not really, you know, there's a lot of people that moved there during the pandemic too. Like, housing is really crazy right now. I'm slowly seeing where I grew up, like, being gentrified and stuff. So that's a reality. So I'm like, which candidate is going to speak to the new electorate, the concerns of the, like, current electorate? Because things are bad, you know, they're trying to defund schools and stuff. So I feel like with that, in the upcoming election will be important. I feel like Val Demings has a good chance if she makes a strong stance with Roe. I dream for the day that Black politicians don't have to overly perform their association with police to get elected by uneducated white people. But that is not our reality now.
I have a dream.
And she was a cop. So I feel like if she pulls the cop thing and it's like, hey, I will codify Roe or whatever, like, block this, like, I think that there's a chance. But I really, it is all about messaging and money. I also feel like if Disney was smart, they would just back Democratic, because Ron DeSantis has made hell for Disney right now. And Disney's a huge employer. And Orlando right now is seeing a big influx of Hispanic people, a lot of people after Hurricane Irma moved from Puerto Rico to the United States. I mean, to Orlando specifically, Kissimmee, all that stuff. So for Ron DeSantis to be in battle with Disney and jeopardize thousands and thousands of jobs, if Disney was smart, they would just put a lot of money to put this shit out there to get some Democrats.
They're
to
one
win
of the because, companies. Yeah. They're one of the companies that have said we'll pay for your. For your travel if needed. So, I mean, yeah, after that dust up with the Don't Say Gay, they're sort of like, they're never going to get Ron DeSantis behind them again. That's like, that relationship is broken. So they might as well.
I know. Can they Koch brothers this?
Yeah.
Right? They need to we need our own Koch brothers. Come on.
Yeah. Like, can they? I think George Soros supposed to be our Koch brother?
He is. Well, and he's probably trying. But J.B. Pritzker, the guy that's running for re-election, the governor of Illinois, I believe he's also a billionaire. And hopefully he's spending a lot of his money on that race. And that's one of the races.
People love J.B. What is it? There's like a whole socialist for J.B. or something.
Is there? Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, like, because he's like followed through on all of his campaign promises.
He has made some really big changes. And there are a lot of reasons why Illinois like needs to stay a safe space for
it's really
rights.
Yeah, it's like really, really, really important that he stay the governor of Illinois because they
the guy that won the Republican primary is like a super anti-abortion Republican, and the Democratic Governors Association actually helped him win. They put a lot of money behind him because they think he is way too extreme for Illinoisans to ever support against a Democrat. I asked, you know, something I'm trying to do more than ever with SUP, me and Bridget, is like sharing what information we have about these local races and then inviting you to tell us what we actually need to know. We are not from these places. We don't know the local, kind of the local dynamics. So people need to tell us. And some people were like this, I'm really worried this could backfire. Some people said, I'm very confident that because this Republican was nominated that JB can win. So we'll have to see. It's a risky, certainly a risky ask strategy, but you know what? I'll give them credit for taking some risks, unlike the next two people we're about to discuss. And that is President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. So we have spent definitely most of the podcast this week in our feelings about the Democratic Party, and we're going to continue to do that for the next 10 to 15 minutes. If for whatever reason you don't want to hear that anymore, fast forward, I guess. We have some other topics to discuss, but there is more to discuss about the response to this. And I guess that is because as every day goes by without a more vigorous kind of like leader on this issue, I think the more perturbed we are all becoming. So President Biden this morning did say he was behind carving out an exception in the filibuster in order to pass the Women's Health Protection Act, or something like that, that would codify some of the protections we lost in Roe. Let's play the clip.
I believe we have to codify Roe v. Wade in the law. And the way to do that is to make sure the Congress votes to do that. And if the filibuster gets in the way, it's like voting rights. It should be, we provide an exception for this, require an exception to the filibuster for this action to deal with the Supreme Court decision. Hang on, I got one more here. Kelly O'Donnell, NBC.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, you just made some news saying you would support changing the filibuster rules to codify abortion rights broadly across the country.
Right to privacy, not just abortion rights, but yes, abortion rights.
So, of course, it's important to remember and to message that just because the president is behind this doesn't mean it happens. I've already seen, you know, some social media posts saying, like, why isn't Biden getting behind the filibuster, as if that will. And I can tell those mm-hmm. people think that will immediately result in Roe being codified. Just mm-hmm. because the president is behind this, it's good. I'm happy that he is. It puts more pressure on Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin to do the same. It makes them look more aberrant and out of step with the party. This was interesting.
They don't care, though.
Yeah, they don't care either. So reactions to care. Joe.
They've been you're talking about Miss when we asked about minimum wage, cares about looking out of step. All right. Sorry.
It's also just surprising that Kyrsten Sinema isn't wearing, like, you know, we sell some punny t-shirts, but I feel like she would be the queen of wearing a punny graphic t-shirt about reproductive rights. Where is she? Where are your graphic tees, Kyrsten? Trot them out, bitch.
They don't sell it at Charlotte Russe, so she's not wearing it.
But I think we're under the shame that this woman should feel, and we should make her feel, for not rising to this occasion. And yes, she knows that hers doesn't matter because there's Manchin and maybe there's some others in there. But, like, the gender treason is really, really impossible to overstate, in my opinion.
It's crazy that she hasn't come out and said, like, literally anything.
No, she's just, like, training for a marathon.
I mean, I'm sure her Twitter
somewhere
has, like, some, like, platitudes on it or whatever, but
an
it's,
RBG,
like...
RBG quote, like, last time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it's, like, no one... Like, we're looking at you, babe. Like, what do you have to... You're one of the people who's holding this up, and I keep having this feeling of, like... Because, like you said, Biden has supported getting rid of the filibuster for a while. So, like, he's
for voting
made this,
rights.
Yeah, he made this exact statement a bunch of times. It's been on the table... He would like to do it. We would have a lot. If it were up to him, we would have a lot more bills signed. We'd have paid leave. We'd have a lot of different things. I mean, I think there's more that he could be doing to agitate for that. But again, like, he would be. He's not the obstacle, actually. It's the Senate. And it feels like every single time I try to think about this kerfluffle that we are in, this predicament, it feels like we're in one of those puzzles where it's like, you have, like, a square thing and you have to try to fit different shaped pieces into it. And when you mm-hmm. initially look at it, you're like, this is going to be easy. And then you start trying to put the pieces in and you're like, oh my God, they don't fit. Yeah, how do the right. pieces fit?
There's a
and
piece, like, missing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, wait a minute. What the fuck? Like, this is bullshit. This game doesn't
then,
work.
And then you call the manufacturer and then they're like, actually, if you wait till November, and you can buy
we'll send you a new
pieces,
one in November.
And then you're like, okay, well, I just fucking bought this puzzle.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Do I have to buy
you told me the puzzle that I bought had all the pieces and that I could do the puzzle then.
You and I wrote fucking postcards and sacrificed.
And I posted
my day.
On Instagram about the puzzle. And now my post looks cringy and dumb because of you.
I mean, that's the perfect, I think that needs to be part of the messaging strategy. That is perfectly put. We didn't have all the puzzle pieces. Some of the puzzle pieces looked like they were the same color. They were not. They were actually not. And they did not.
No. And
they
you
did
think
not
they fit and they don't fucking fit.
And you know what? Fine. But the manufacturer needs to come out with a statement saying, hey, we released a puzzle. We want to recall it. And get two
we're
more pieces.
The puzzle?
Yeah, because we're sorry. We should have never released this puzzle, but we did. And, you know, sometimes mistakes happen.
We knew the pieces might not fit.
We knew
they might not fit.
But
we thought
we
they could.
Like,
we thought we could force them in.
We thought we could force them in because they've said and all this stuff. They're the same color, whatever. But guess what? They changed up on us. We're sorry. Now
yeah.
can
have
you buy
some
two
contrition,
more
have some humility.
Yes.
Exactly.
Turns out we released the puzzle before we actually tried to do the puzzle. And yeah. it's a lot more difficult. We did not test the puzzle.
The beta test of the puzzle actually impacts all of your rights.
These white guys from Ivy League universities told us this puzzle would work.
They took a quick look at the puzzle.
We could force them. But these white Ivy League guys have never done a puzzle in their life.
Yeah, hit up a white Ivy League woman for once. No.
Suddenly, so all the puzzles leaned in.
Okay, perfect. So the leaders of the puzzle company, Vice President Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. So this is very interesting. I feel like the vice president's office could have been a episode of Veep this morning, because yesterday she did a very irksome interview. And listen, if you are new to this podcast, we love Kamala Harris. We really try to stan her. It pains me personally when she is not authentic, because I know authentically what she... We talked a lot about this yesterday, a lot, sort of an alternate reality, which we do often with Caitlin, where Kamala Harris had been attorney general and what that would look like right now and how fucking badass that would be.
My mom looks just like Kamala Harris, or at least like a sister. So I will say that.
But continue, make your mom attorney general. Maybe she would be more into this than Merrick Garland. But so yesterday she gave an interview on CNN with Dana Bash. Bash asked Harris what she would tell voters who, like the things we were just talking about, who feel like they bought a puzzle and they knew the pieces would go together and they do not go together. And Dana Bash was like, what do you say to the people who say you need to help the Senate get something done on abortion rights right now? Harris replied sort of like in a little bit of a short way, do what now? What now? Just in a dismissive way, not short, I shouldn't say, just like, do what? And they sort of went back and forth about this, about how, you know, there are not the votes right now to codify Roe, even though, of course, Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, supports that legislation. And there also are not enough votes to eliminate the filibuster for that. So then Bash seemed to be pushing Harris about using her bully pulpit to get behind filibuster reform. And this was before Joe Biden did so, I believe, this morning. And she just sort of deflected. Like, there's not any point in, like, answering this if... You know, I'm not quoting exactly from it, but she just kept reiterating that people need to go get more Democrats in Congress. She said several times that the election is in 130 days. And the reason I think things could be chaotic there this morning is just because, like, if she said that, usually we know her to do this. She didn't say that yet because Biden hadn't said it yet. So I wonder if Biden's office talked to her before he said this morning. I don't know if it was spontaneously, but I think it was like at a NATO thing that he was behind the filibuster. So personally, I think it looks really bad that our first female vice president yesterday was deflecting about this. And then this morning, our like 80-year-old white guy president was like, sure, we can do this. But in any event, I was disappointed yesterday. So like, what do you think is holding her back here?
I feel like they keep promising a higher position or like a future president, with the Democratic Party. Yeah, president. And she's trying to do what she can to keep the job, even if it means disappointing people, and like not stepping out of line. And that's probably why they picked her for VP, is that she won't step out of line. And a lot of the criticisms that she has about being a cop or being a prosecutor or prosecuting people hard are things that, again, she probably felt like she had to do to maintain a political career as a Black woman in this country. You have to overly perform and be a proponent of this carceral system. Mm-hmm. You have to not step out of line, so that because already her like existence as a Black woman politician is radical, that she can't step out of line. She feels right. But what we've been saying for weeks and weeks and weeks and months is that the occasion is calling for someone to rise and for someone to step out of the thing. So it's like this, she's playing this dance and she's always clumsy. You know, that's why they made her say, like, don't come here with the immigrants. And that's why they're making her, you know, because she has to look like the one that's really more conservative than Biden, because Biden's a white man and he has that privilege of like, no one's going to think he's a radical. But, you know, look at how they treat AOC for saying things like we need health care and minimum wage and Cori Bush and
hideous treatment
and all of that shit for like the most basic stuff, when like people like Bernie Sanders are getting praised. Bernie Sanders is fucking praised for his shit. Even Elizabeth Warren. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm like, this is a strategy for her, but it's fucking disappointing because people are going to die because you want to be president one day. Like, fuck you. You know what I mean? And that's
like, and I actually think she's miscalculating, because I think that her path to the presidency, actually now she could actually revive that path by being defiant and having come out before this and just being like, I am a woman in this country. I am a Black woman in this country. She is very familiar. She has actually done a lot of work on maternal health and mortality, getting more money to states. But yeah, I think the accusation about her sometimes is that she's calculated. And I'm like, calculate better right now. Yeah. Like your path to a political future, I think, depends on her really rallying and saying what needs to be said and elevating the people that are being frank about what needs to be done.
Yeah, she just feels very, and this has been the whole feeling about her vice presidency and what we've talked about a lot, like, she just feels totally neutralized to me. And, like, there, she has not figured out, as you guys were saying, she has not figured out how to wield herself as vice president, but this administration has not figured out how to wield as vice president either. Like, you have a historic situation of rights being rolled back for women, trans masculine people, non-binary people, all of that. You have the first female vice president out here. All of her press hits are planned, right? So how the fuck are you sending her on Dana Bash without anything to fucking say? Like, it's also part of the White House. Like, why did she even do the interview if there's no news to break, there's no plan, and you have nothing to say? Like, of course Dana Bash is going to ask you about the filibuster. So if Biden is planning to say, or that's what his position is, how did she even end up in the interview without knowing that in the first place? Like, it's a clusterfuck to me in general, and it's all very, like, it all goes back to this really, this thing we were talking about on Tuesday where I'm like, it feels like they had no plan for this and that they're figuring it out now. And it's what we talk about all the time with the Biden administration. It's like, they're always surprised. They're surprised. We didn't expect it to be like this. We didn't expect it to happen this day, this way, And I'm just like, when are you guys going to stop being surprised? Yeah. I don't receive a presidential daily brief. Like,
right.
Like, it, you guys Absolutely. Do. So it just, it speaks to this whole, like, lack of strategy to me that they would even, that she would go out there, that the White House would have her out there without something to fucking say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think sometimes they're, her reaction is like, do what? It's like, you know what? Sometimes you need to be a little bit more strategic with your publicity and get behind the things, even if you don't think they're going to pass. Because you know what?
Yeah.
The Republican Party, when they are in power, they will get behind things theoretically. They will see how their voters respond. And then suddenly they are really behind those things. So just
the
like,
do what is for you to figure out. You're the people who figure out do what. Like that, you are supposed to answer that question. And you're actually supposed to have had it answered before now. And some of the things that you try might not work, but we always go back to it. Like Donald Trump said on the campaign trail, build a wall with Mexico. And now we have
like a little wall.
Part of a shitty wall. It exists. It's up. It doesn't work. It's falling down. It was too expensive and it's fucking stupid. But he said it, and now we actually have part of his stupid wall that was built. So how the fuck can you tell me there's nothing that we can even try?
And like, that's the thing is like, they don't want to get caught trying. I don't know. And it's like,
they don't. You're right.
Politicians all the time, especially Republican ones, constantly pass these insane laws just to make a point. Like these laws about trans
people. And some of those laws are in effect now with Roe v. Wade.
They passed the trigger laws. It's like they passed shit that they knew couldn't be put into effect on a hope that eventually their horrible agenda would come to pass. And look, it did. And now all of those laws went into effect, whereas the Democrats, like, were like, well, we can't pass that because of Roe. And it's like, no.
Yes, the Supreme Court will overturn it. But, like, I put up a video from this incredible creator. Her name's the Luncheon Lawyer. And she's like, okay, then we need everybody running for Senate now to promise that they will also, if the Supreme Court says, like, fuck you, Congress, trying to federally legislate Roe. Then the next step, okay, we need enough people in the Senate to say we're gonna add some people to your office to rebalance this and expand the court.
Yeah,
which Ketanji Brown Jackson, we should say, is joining today. So that's nice.
I know. Ketanji Brown Jackson's first day.
Justice Ketanji Brown Justice. Jackson.
Yeah, it's so fucked up. You know, And this is a problem that is so reflective with shit in this country and every single industry. It's like when shit has gotten so bad, that's when they give a woman of color or a person of color or a woman a fucking chance, the glass cliff. And it's fucked up.
I can't believe she has to work with these crazy people.
Crazy activists that make no sense. There's no logic behind any of the rulings. One, yeah, like we said, one ruling is states' rights. The other ruling is states don't have rights. We just let more guns fucking pass in New York so everyone can have more guns, even though like shit has gone down dramatically with gun crimes.
States can't help with climate change. Like
states
what?
Can't help with climate change. These people are nuts. So nuts. Like we need, again, it's like no offense.
Like no imagine strategy. If like the, one of us went and joined, you know, became a producer for Fox News and we had to go work with those people. No, thank you. Thank you, Justice Jackson.
Guess what? I have a funny story. I had a friend who worked at Fox. I think still works there for like 12 years, more, probably like 20 years at this point. And I went to the office. I've been inside. I got the tour
the
and
belly
stuff.
Of the beast.
The belly of the
truly.
Beast. I made like a joke about Bill O'Reilly because it was when Bill O'Reilly was at. Anyway, they're like, oh, most of the people that work here are liberals. But I'm like, OK, whatever. And this was before like they got really bad. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
I've heard that, too.
Yeah, it's fucking sad. Like the Biden decision makes me think that because sometimes I'm like, are they listening? Like, do they care? Are they listening? And it's like, OK, they can kind of be bullied. But it's like, why do we have to bully like this much? Like, you guys didn't anticipate that people would be pissed about this. So I'm really hoping that the messaging gets together before the midterms, like, and we really pull it together because there is a chance that
huge chance.
There's a huge chance that we get, but again, right. So let's say we abolish the filibuster. Okay. Let's say we do, you know, get the two seats and then abolish the filibuster. Then what? Then we codify Roe and then what? You know what I mean?
And then it's the court. Yeah. Going? I mean, that's the thing that's really hard to stomach with this is that, you know, and I think I saw a thread that Sammy shared that said, this is not. There was a sense around 2020. I mean, there was this sort of lip service with, of course, we all should vote all the time. But it felt really like if you never vote again, nobody said this, but it felt like if you never vote again, please vote now. But this is just like, I think what people need to stomach is that like you cannot miss any election for anything,
any election
ever again for the rest of our lifetime. I mean, Amana Gandhi said on Monday, this will take a generation to fix. And that means showing up. You know, every single time. And we're disappointed with the leadership now, but we'll have chances to replace that.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
I do want to take a few minutes to talk about these other headlines that have, you know, kind of gotten buried with everything going on this week. Let's start with R. Kelly. The 55-year-old was finally sentenced to 30 years in prison yesterday. That was Wednesday. This came after he was convicted last September on 9 counts of federal racketeering and sex trafficking charges. These charges were filed less than 2 months after Surviving R. Kelly aired. So just that documentary was everything towards getting any accountability or justice here. And this ultimately did result in the first conviction against Kelly, despite decades of allegations. Like I said, the trial, which was 5 weeks, ended last September. And to refresh your memory, it included just so many witnesses sharing devastating testimony about how they were sexually and physically abused by Kelly. We also heard from people who were involved in orchestrating Kelly's abuse, specifically his marriage to Aaliyah, and how he basically had this scheme to marry her when she was that young because he had impregnated her. Handing down her sentence, the judge told R. Kelly, "You left in your wake a trail of broken lives." She spent some time talking about how, you know, Kelly's lawyers did use his past and issues in his upbringing to try to kind of like explain some of his actions. And just in her, when handing down her sentence, the judge kind of acknowledged that and said it, she wasn't ignoring it, but it did not justify what he had done to so many people. Javante Cunningham is a former backup singer for Kelly, and she has literally been trying to get justice for 30 years. So I'm just going to read a quote that she said yesterday. "There wasn't a day in my life up until this moment that I actually believed that the judicial system would come through for Black and brown girls. I stand here very proud of my judicial system, very proud of my fellow survivors, and very pleased with the outcome." And that was, I think, a huge element of this. I mean, this guy has been up to this for so long, but it wasn't really until that documentary that anyone really bothered to take action. And specifically, I think for those women to speak out was so courageous.
And also, like, just shout out to Lifetime, because yeah, they're the ones that put it
within
up.
Weeks.
And
within
that's
weeks
crazy.
Of that ending. Yeah. So he's actually going to be on trial again for stuff he did related to his child pornography trial, because basically he like paid off witnesses, paid them like hundreds of thousands of dollars to withhold evidence. And for that trial, he's hired the team of, she's back, Jennifer Bonjon, who helped Bill Cosby get his sexual assault conviction overturned. Oh, but also she represented Cosby in a civil case that he lost last month. So from one gender traitor to another, let's discuss quickly Ghislaine Maxwell's sentencing this week.
Amazing.
Bad week for abusers who aren't on the Supreme Court, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
The 60-year-old was sentenced Tuesday. Reminder never to refer to her as a former socialite. She's just a formerly free person. She's just a 60-year-old yeah. incarcerated woman. She was sentenced Tuesday to 20 years in prison for helping the Jeffrey Epstein, the abuser, sexually abuse underage girls. This could be, you know, I hope
to
see.
And to whom?
Mm-hmm. I hope to see more on that note, more convictions in terms of who actually took advantage of these girls. But this is really the first big conviction, of course, because Epstein died by suicide or something in jail in 2018.
He's gone. All that we can say. He's no longer here. You know what? Here's what I will say. When Alan Dershowitz did Tuning Out the News, he referred to Jeffrey Epstein exclusively as the person who is no longer alive.
That is wild. That is so deranged.
If you could go back and watch that, anybody who's listening, that was such a good episode.
It's a crazy
episode. Yeah, I'm going to do that this weekend for sure.
It's a crazy episode. He was he didn't know what the show was. He became confused. Not. He got bamboozled by a bunch of cartoons, and he does call Jeffrey Epstein the person who is no longer alive.
The person who is no longer alive. Well, for Maxwell's part, she was able to address the court, and she said that she empathized with the survivors. She hoped that her punishment would bring them peace, yet she didn't play any... She didn't admit playing any role. She didn't say, like, I'm sorry for what I did. She's like, I just hope this brings you peace, because she, as she always has, blamed Epstein entirely. And she said that meeting him was, quote, the greatest regret of my life, was meeting him, not approaching poor young girls in the mall and making them give your gross boyfriend, letting your gross boyfriend sexually assault them on a massage table, but just meeting him, worst regret.
And sexually assaulting them yourself.
She did. Right. Yeah. She is alleged participated in the abuse, which I don't know if she was like held accountable for yesterday and if that's coming, but victims say that happened.
Yeah. So no, but my biggest regret was ever giving him my number.
I'm sorry. I never met you, Jeff.
Was texting back.
Yeah.
Fuck off. I just think it's important to note that because of what SCOTUS did, also someone like Aaliyah, who gets impregnated by a predatory rapist, like,
has to carry it to term.
Exactly. Like R. Kelly either has to carry it to term, or at 15 has to go to her parents, say what happened. I mean, travel out of state. Like, there's just like people who are victims of people like Ghislaine Maxwell and R. Kelly are the pinnacle, the pinnacle of the example of why what Roe did is wrong. Though, of course, You don't have to be traumatized to deserve your right to an abortion at all. But it's like,
it's worth reiterating because most people disagree with that. Most people disagree. There's a lot of weird polling on Roe, but it's important to read it. Like, most people agree that you should not be forced to have your rapist child or a family member who rapes you.
Most people agree that abortion should be legal in general without anything. Yeah. But yeah.
So those were two like huge headlines. I mean, almost one of them decades, both of them decades in the making. That'll be our show today. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Lily Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.